BeastNet is brought to you by James Safety Services and in partnership with Beast OCR. Here we discuss all things OCR and fitness related, running, endurance, conditioning, rucking, and more. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to BeastNet. You get a very special episode this week. You've got Brother Don, or That Don, or whatever you want to call, hosting, and we're going to talk with Pretty Mike about his adventures in Portland and Hawaii last 2 weeks, and just kind of touch base. Everybody was asking for somebody to get out there and interview Mike. I know that we did it previously with the Beast Report and a little bit with the tunnel and the other stuff, but now we're going to go all in, or as they say, we'll go balls deep. Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself, and let's talk about Hawaii.
All right. Well, most of you know me. I'm Pretty Mike. I've been, you know, the host of the podcast for almost 2 years now. I'm a bigger guy, obviously. I'm working on losing weight, doing what I can. All the food I ate in Hawaii didn't help. But, you know, just, yeah, I'm me. It's hard to, like, really... I feel like you all know me. Everyone that's listened to the episodes, I talk about myself a lot. So I feel like most of you, if you listen, should know who I am. But, yeah.
So a little bit more background about you. I know we talked about a little bit on the coming out party podcast, but let's talk about your inspiration to start a podcast. And man, to be 116 episodes in, I think it is, and what got you to do that?
What got me to do it really was, some of you may know or may not know, I have another podcast that I do with a good friend of mine named Matt Gingrich. It's under the name Brandon Valentine. That is my stage name, my other personality per se, that I've been doing for almost 3 years. I think we're 200 and something episodes in. And that was kind of my inspiration to start doing podcasts and radio. I also have been on a radio show for NWCZ Radio for about 4 years now. In fact, in the next couple weeks, I will be starting my own radio show on NWCZ Radio called Love and Hate Radio with my son Benton. So that's kind of where I got the start. So I've been kind of in radio, podcasting, stuff like that for a while. It was something me, Adam, and a few other people talked about, was, you know, starting one for Beast and for the OCR community and something that we could talk about OCRs and stuff like that and try and bring members in and help people with health issues and motivation and stuff like that. And it was kind of a concept that we came up with originally. Beast Now, like I've said before, was supposed to be a network of multiple like shows, but it just never really completely took. It was just really me doing it, and I've been, you know, like the sole person doing it for a long time, and that's, it gets to wear on you after a while trying to make sure. I mean, like I've said, we've never missed a Monday since November 2nd of 2017, I think, was the first episode, and that was on Monday, and we've never missed a Monday since. There's always been a brand new episode of, you know, BeastNet every Monday, sometimes some in the middle of the week, other stuff like that. We've been trying to do Thursdays now too. So, but every Monday for almost 2 years now. And that's been, it's very important to me to be consistent. That's how you get listeners. That's how you get people to start, you know, really trusting you and waiting. People are waiting Monday. If there's not an episode Monday, I can guarantee you, if all of a sudden one Monday, I don't put it, there's not an episode out there Monday morning when everyone goes to go to work, I will get phone calls.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We've got an upcoming guest, and I was listening to a podcast that he was on. And one of the things I was trying to figure out was what their actual release cycle was, because, you know, they release, it looks like, twice a month, and it's kind of at random. It's never... Yeah, it's not the 1st and 15th or 5th and 20th. They just kind of bounce around. So, you know, it's hard to think that they get the most consistent listeners. But, you know, I've also been told there's other ones that do it once a month. So, so real quick, you were talking about Internet Radio, Northwest's NWCZ Radio. How do people find that?
Yeah, Northwest Convergence.
I just turn on the radio and you know, it plays some crazy music because all the radio stations play the same music now. How do you get the Convergence Center?
NWCZ Radio is, you have to actually, it's on the internet. It's nwczradio.com. And you go there and there's two channels. Yeah, and it just plays like a normal radio station. Like I said, I'm working on hopefully either the first or second week in September, my new radio show, Love and Hate Radio, will go live. So yeah, it's a great radio station. I mean, it's really cool. I mean, you can listen to it at work, whatever. Yeah. So it's a cool thing to do.
Okay. Well, you know, the reason I ask is just because I haven't partaken in it. And honestly, until you got me into podcasts, I didn't really even pay attention to those. So, you know, now I'm hosting and talking to you on a podcast, and maybe I'll pay attention to internet radio. So 2 weeks ago, you went out and you raced, I guess that was the Spartan Sprint down in Washougal, the big beast yep. party. How did that go?
It went good. I raced with some really good friends of mine, Jody, Trista, and a few others. They were with us the whole time. And Benton, of course, my son. And we picked up someone, Cleo, I think was her name, some random person that we picked up along the way, which is typical for us. But it was fun. It was a good race. I mean, Washougal is kind of a coming home for the beast in a lot of ways. When we first started racing, it was called the Pacific Northwest Sprint. And then when Seattle got its own races, they started calling it the Portland race, the Portland Sprint. It's a good one. The very first time I ever was introduced to Spartan was at Washougal. I didn't race it, but I did go volunteer, and that's where I got my first volunteer code so I could do Montana. I couldn't race because I had a 13 stitches, I think, in my right hand, so I couldn't use my hand, but it's a great course. I love it. I mean, it's usually warm. This year was a little bit colder than normal, but you know, it's a good course, and I loved racing it, and I loved racing it with my race family. So,
yeah. One thing I was noticing with that being a single race weekend, it kind of keeps you from overdoing yourself. I know we've talked to a couple of people in the past that they used to do the two race weekends where they do the sprint super and whatever, and a lot of them are dialing it back a notch, and other people like you, I guess, are dialing it up a notch. Because down in Washougal, you raced with Jody, and you did the one-day race there. And,
yep.
Well, heck, it was, 6 days later, I see pictures of you and Jody out on the race course on an island in the middle of the Pacific.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, so Saturday we raced, you know, Portland Sprint, and then the very next Saturday we did the Beast in Hawaii. So, and that was me, Jody, Nick, and Sarah Kay, I believe was her name. It was the first time I'd met Sarah. She's really cool. But yeah, it was a brutal course. Hawaii was brutal. Probably, what's that?
I was going to say, before you get too much into the course, let's talk about Hawaii and what it means to you, because that course has been the bane of your existence, as I understand it now, going on 3 or 4 years. So what's the background of you in Hawaii?
This is my fourth attempt at Hawaii. In 2016, I broke my foot, like shattered my left foot in June of 2016. And the doctor basically said I was going to be in wouldn't be able to put weight on it or walk for 8 weeks after the injury. And Hawaii weekend was literally the eighth week after my injury. The week before I left for Hawaii, I didn't know if I was racing. I asked my doctor, said, "Hey, can I do this?" My doctor looked at me, basically says, "You're an idiot." But yes, he says, "You can do it as long as you don't land on that foot."
Yeah, I think anytime you come in there, your doctor probably looks at you and says, "You're an idiot," because you're telling him what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
You need to learn to, to lie to your doctor, I guess.
Yeah, no, well, I wanted to make sure if I was going into this that I wasn't going to permanently injure myself. You know, my doctor told me flat out, he's like, as long as you don't land on that foot and you leave the boot on the entire time, you're fine. So I went for it, and I ended up BNFing on the beast. the only DNF I've ever had in my life. We were hit the half, or it was probably a little past the halfway point. We got to the log carry, and it was up a hill, grass hill, and back down, and it had been raining. And when we got there, they basically said, you have a minute and a half to get through this obstacle and get on the other side to, you know, this one marker before you missed the cutoff. Well, I kept trying to run up this hill and wearing the boot. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever been in a walking boot, but walking boots have no traction at all. So while I was trying to run up and down this hill, I just kept slipping and falling. I couldn't make it. I just could not get up the hill. Every time I put weight on that foot, I just fall on my face. And my partner is with me, Stevie, who's great, and I can't wait till she starts racing again. She was my race wife. She ran it, did hers, came back, grabbed my log, and tried to help me. But by the time we finished, they're like, yeah, you missed it. You missed the cutoff by 30 seconds. You're done. I got very angry.
I'm surprised they didn't let 30 seconds go, but I guess their time hacks are pretty black and white, depending on.
A lot of times they are, and actually it was Norm, who is no longer part of Spartan. He was one of the originals. He looked right at me and Stevie and basically told us, he's like, if you had showed up and it was just the two of you standing here, I would turn my head and let you walk away. But there were seven people that showed up at the same time we did. And the other people were destroyed. I mean, they were worse off than me, and I had a broken foot. So, that's basically what he said. Yeah. And that's what he said. He's like, if it was just the two of you, I would have let you go. And from what I've heard from most people that did finish it, they're like, what we had ahead of us, we would have been in, they're not sure we would have been able to get through it, you know, with my foot the way it was. But yeah, Norm was like, he can't. With that many people there, he would have had to let everyone go. And I mean, they were destroyed. A couple of them were ultra runners. There was one guy that we had helped for a while, and really is what killed us on our time. We stopped to help this guy that broke his arm while he was up on the hill. So, in the horrible, horrible hill.
Yeah.
So that was
2016, right? You broke your foot. You did it anyways. And did you end up other two races?
I did. I'll be honest. Once it happened, I was done. They took me back down the hill to the festival, and everyone was there, and I could hear that, you know, the chink of the metals, you know, when people walk around with them, that's all I could hear. And I wanted to cry. And I literally just called Amber, said, come get me. We're done. And I walked down the hill to the beach that was about a quarter mile away, stripped down to my underwear, and jumped in the water. And I was done. I was done for the weekend. I did not want anything else to do with Spartan. I was upset. I was destroyed. And I talked to Brandon Chin, and told him, I'm like, I'm done. I'm not doing anything else. I'm done for the weekend. And Brandon looks right at me and says, well, if you're done, I'm done. And I'm like, what? He's like, if you're not racing tomorrow, I'm not racing tomorrow. So have that on your conscience. And I looked at him, said, you're a dick. I hate you. I will see you in the morning. So, I did do the super.
Love, Brandon.
So I got up in the morning. I did the super. It was tough. It was really tough. The day before, trying to go around on that boot. I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to do that much mileage on a boot in the woods. It is not advisable. I would not tell anyone else to try it. It was rough. We got to a certain point where we could hear the announcer, and the announcer said the final sprint heat's going in 30 minutes. And at that point, I looked at everyone around me and said, you know, as well as I do, I'm not finishing this in 30 minutes. So if any of you want to do that sprint, you better leave me and go. And every single one of them said, we're not leaving you. And I looked at them and said, yes, you are. I will finish this race. Just go and get the sprint. And finally, after a lot of coaxing, they left me and they went and, you know, so they could get back done and do the sprint. So it was interesting. It was tough. But I did finish the super.
Yeah, I was going to say that does kind of reinforce the Beast OCR mentality there, that we never leave a man behind, you know, kind of like the military or whatnot. They really just would not leave you.
No.
Without your coaxing.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, though. It's, I mean, I know you haven't done a hurricane heat yet, but one of the things they teach in the hurricane heat is the warrior ethos. And the very first thing that it says, I will always place the mission first. And that is the hardest part. Because yes, on that one, they didn't want to leave me. Because the last one is, I will never leave a fallen comrade. But at the same time, you still have to put the mission first. And that's what was trying to convince them of, hey, mission first is finishing and you getting the sprint. I will finish this without you. Just go. And once I finally convinced them of that, they left me. But it was tough to get to convince them to do it. So, but I did finish the super. It was interesting, but I finished it.
Oh, so, that's important.
And that was
you got your medal. Yep. So real quick, let's take a quick 30-second timeout here for our sponsor, and we'll catch right back up.
Like what you hear? Make sure and subscribe and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you're using YouTube, please click the little red subscribe icon, then click the little bell for notifications of future episodes. And if you could, give us a thumbs up.
And now we're back from our sponsor, and we're just talking with Pretty Mike, finished up with his 2016 Spartan Hawaii experience. So what happened in 2017 when you did Spartan Hawaii? Because, again, you know, Spartan Hawaii is the bane of Mike's existence.
It
he cannot seem to get that one done. So what happened in 2017?
2017, I went there. It was me and Jody again. A lot of people don't know this about 2017 and how tough 2017 really was for me. I quit smoking the weekend before we left for Hawaii. So, I mean, kind of imagine that. I just quit smoking. I was on medication that made it so my body didn't deal with heat very well. And, of course, I just quit smoking, and now I'm going to Hawaii. So keep that in mind. When I started the Beast, I was not feeling well at all. I was feeling very sick, but I did it anyway, because that's what I do. Couple miles into it, I don't know how to say this in a nice way. I had what pretty much most runners will tell you, if you've never crapped your pants on a race, you're not a real runner. I'm a real runner. So, and I'll probably no one wanted to hear that, but that gives you an idea of how sick I really was. So really doing that race, there was two problems I was having. I was overheating the entire time. I could not get my body temperature to drop no matter what I did. Like every water station we went to, I was dumping water on me. Anytime we came to a water obstacle, I was completely immersing my body in it, trying to drop my body temperature. So it was a very tough race for me. I pushed. We ended up right towards the end. We got to a point where it got dark and we needed headlamps. Amazingly enough, I had my headlamp when we were at the condo. I had taken it, checked it, made sure it worked, threw it into my bag right before we left. Well, somehow when I threw it in my bag, the two bags were sitting next to each other. I threw it in the wrong bag. So we didn't have it. We had to find someone who did have one so that we could finish the race, but we finished. It was one of the toughest beasts up to that point that I had ever done. Just because I was so sick and I felt so destroyed physically by the time we finished. But I did it. So, and it was, I think that was almost 12 and a half hours. It was brutal. I was destroyed. The next morning I got up, I did the super, finished the super with just enough time that I could have grabbed my sprint pack and ran back out and gone and done the sprint. By that point, my feet, I could barely walk. I mean, to put it in perspective, I came up to doing the super right towards the end, came up to the sandbag carry, and the volunteer looked at the way I was walking, looked right at me and said, do me a huge favor and please walk right past me because that looks painful. So that's how...
Amazing when somebody else can.
Yeah. That's how destroyed my feet were at that point. And it's just like, I finished and I'm like, could I muscle through it? I think I could have. I honestly really think I could have muscled through it and done it. But here was my problem. The next Saturday, in 17, Washougal and Hawaii were swapped. Where this year, it was Washougal was the year before, or the weekend before. That year, Washougal was the weekend after. So I had a decision to make. I could either finish the sprint and hope that my feet would be okay to run the sprint with my son in a week, or bag the sprint and just say, okay, I'm going to bag the sprint so that I can make sure my feet are okay so I can run the sprint with my kid. And I chose to bag the sprint so that I could make sure that I could run the next weekend with my kid. So that was 17 and why I didn't finish.
That's a very wise decision. That way you can keep your son active and involved in the races and not get home from Hawaii and be like, ha ha, I got my medal and we can't go walking.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things too, partly, and this is the part that, you know, I didn't mention from 16. I skipped Washougal in 16 because of my broken foot. Benton ran Washougal, his very first Spartan, without me because my foot was broke. So it meant that much more to me to be able to run that sprint with Benton in 17 because I didn't get to in 16. So I got to run his second Spartan with him, not his first. So that's why it was so important that I was there. So that was 17. 18, as most people know, there was no Spartan races in Hawaii. If you go back and listen, there's a fun episode that's kind of hard to listen to because it's a little bit windy, and we recorded it on the lanai of our condo during the hurricane. But yeah, so 18, I didn't get a race at all because, well, they didn't race. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was a real tough call, I'm thinking, for Spartan, because had that hurricane really made landfall, made a mess of it, and people got hurt, they'd have been real upside down. And because it didn't really make landfall, and the biggest wave was the one that hit your wife that CNN used for all their headlines. You know, it was a whopping 2-foot-tall wave, which honestly, I think you can go out and surf bigger waves than what we're crashing during the hurricane, from what I saw. But
But it was one of those things from what I understand from talking to Spartan and a few other people, you know, and people, because, I mean, I've been around them so long, I've got to know quite a few of them. It wasn't Spartan's call. It was Kualoa Ranch. And the ranch said if there is a hurricane warning, they shut down the ranch. So it wasn't, Spartan had no, because they were trying to set something up like an impromptu, like, special hurricane heat type thing or something, you know, for us to do on Saturday for all of us that were already there.
You know, that would have been fun.
But they couldn't.
A hurricane heat in a hurricane.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you go read that's where hurricane heat started, right? That's why it's called the hurricane heat. Because there was a race in, I think it was Florida, that was canceled because of a hurricane. So they just, everyone got together and had a crazy workout, and that was the birth of the hurricane heat.
One of these days, I'll get around to reading Joe's book. I've got a copy of it, and I'm betting that's where it goes into
some
of those little details.
I've got all three of them.
Go walk to the other room. Yeah.
But, well, yeah, so 18 I missed because of a hurricane. So that was, but I'll tell you, that was probably the best vacation I had in Hawaii. It's probably the best vacation I ever had in Hawaii because most of the real touristy crap was closed, but all the locals were still open. So you still had the local flavor and all that stuff. and you had so many people that like chose not to go on vacation, so there wasn't that many people. It was awesome. It was a great vacation. I mean, I didn't get a raise, but it was a great vacation. So, yeah.
Sorry about that. Lost my screen there for a second. So, Dick, where'd you go? Yeah, no, you know, it's a disappearing act, little things in life. But, So, next up, 2019. So what happened in 2019? Yeah.
2019 was it was a tough go. I'll be honest. I mean, everyone knows that I've been battling my weight issue. A lot of that is, you know, I don't know the nice way to say this. It's my own personal dipshit mistakes. So I mean, I did have the injury that did start me down the path of the weight gain, but a lot of bad decisions I made along the way have made it worse. So that kind of starts the whole idea of this weekend, you know. I mean, I'm not in the best shape that I should have been. But of course, we know me, I don't know when to say no and stop. So I do it anyway. Going into the weekend, we'd been there a week. We got there Monday. So we'd been there, you know, a week before we raced, almost, you know, whatever, 5 days. And one thing I didn't realize is anybody who knows me knows that if I have a chance to take my shoes off and roam around, I will. I will be barefoot every chance I get. So, of course, the second we landed in Hawaii, I took my shoes off, threw them in a corner, and hadn't worn shoes for 5 days. So didn't really notice. My feet had swelled, and by swelled, I mean had swelled. And of course, not wearing shoes, not putting them on, didn't really notice it. Saturday morning, I get there, I go to put my shoes on. You know, I put my socks on and everything else. Didn't really pay attention. Went to put my shoes on. They really don't want to go on my feet. And for anybody that knows too, I have two different sizes of shoes for weekends like this. So one shoe that's a little bit smaller, like a half a size smaller, and then one shoe that's, you know, a little bit bigger for the second day because my feet will swell, obviously, from racing. They'll swell a little bit. So my shoes usually fit, but they're a little tight. Well, yeah, my feet did not want to go into these shoes. I had to force them into the shoes. Nick explained it best. He said it looked like a hot dog busting out of the casing. That once my feet got in there, you could see my probably a quarter inch on each side of the tongue. My feet, they were busted out that far. And these are Innovate Talons. So anybody that has talons knows that that's not normal. So we didn't get 100 yards before I was having problems with my socks bunching up because my feet were so swollen and the shoes didn't fit. So within 100 yards, I had to stop and take my socks off. So if anybody's ever ran a race in racing shoes that are too small and with no socks, it doesn't end well. Let me put it that way. Does not end well at all. So we got into the race. I feel like, you know, me, Jody, and Nick, we were talking afterwards. We had a really good pace going. We were doing good. We had a good pace. We were looking like it wasn't going to be another, you know, 10, 11 hour freaking race. We're doing good. You get to about 4 or 5 mile mark. You start going into what we call the death march. It's been there every year, but I don't remember it being as bad as it was this year. If you look online and look for Hawaii, you'll see pictures of people standing single file, not moving on this single track trail up into the mountains. And this trail went for 3 or 4 miles. And it took us over 2 hours to get through this because we just weren't moving.
It must be a hell of a hill.
We were just... It was, and it was just, you couldn't move. You're just standing there in a single file line. It's hot. It's humid. By the time we finished, I mean, every ounce of energy you've had is drained out of you. And that's where we started having problems, was after that. We got through that. I was overheating. Jody was having issues with heat. I know I went through both days. I have a 2-liter Camelback bladder. I filled it 4 times both days. And anyone
that's
who knows me
water.
Normally, yeah. And it was empty at the end of both days. I was like sucking it dry as we were finishing the race. It was a lot of water. And every water station we hit, it was grab a cup of water, take a drink, dump the rest over my head, take a drink. And I would do that with 4 or 5. I mean, I was drenched the whole race trying to cool off. Nick even pointed out at one point, he's like, we haven't had a water station in an hour and a half and there's water dripping off you. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's the sweat that's pouring off of my body right now. So the heat was brutal. It was hotter and more just, I don't know what the word is, but just hotter and more intense than the first couple of years. But we pushed through and we just kept going. We got through that bad part. And then after that, we started hitting some other, you know, downhill, a lot of downhills and uphills. There's a lot of up and downhill, a lot of elevation. We hit probably about the 11-mile mark, and I started cramping, which is something that's never happened to me. I've never really cramped in a race, but my whole left leg started in my quad and started working its way down my leg. Started cramping my feet. I could tell, I could feel the blisters forming on the backs of my heels and on the bottoms of my feet, but I just kind of kept going and just kept moving. I will say this, I hit the spear throw in the pitch black with a headlamp. So I did drilled that thing. Even the medics that were sitting there were like, that was pretty impressive. So I'm happy with myself on that. And it was just pure pushing. If it wasn't for Nick, I don't think I could have done it. Nick was right there with me the whole time, never left me, and just kept pushing me. And he's like, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. And just kept me moving. We finished at 11 hours and 59 minutes and 50 seconds, I think is what it was. But
I
finished.
A long day of racing.
It does. It does. It does. And then pretty much went home or to the condo, got to the condo, maybe got 3 hours of sleep. Because it was so late that we finished. By the time we got back to the condo, it was almost midnight, you know, because we had to drop Nick off and all of that. Luckily, Justin Wiley was there. He took us back, so we didn't have to wait for the girls to get there. But he dropped us off. I mean, like I said, got up in the morning, went back out, you know, for the super after about 3 hours of sleep. Got up in the morning. Amber's had to spend probably a good 45 minutes, maybe an hour, trying to tend to the cuts and bruises and the blisters on my feet, just so I could try and get my feet into shoes. I ended up having my race shoes weren't an option. I had to wear my everyday shoes, my Skechers, because those were the only shoes that I could get my feet inside of. So
yeah, the nylon design of those Innovates is very tight and unforgiving. So I could definitely
yeah,
see
they
where
don't,
when you're swollen, there's no way to squeeze that sausage yeah. into a sack.
No, and there wasn't. So, I mean, there was nothing I could. It was pretty much, it was, you know, Amber's like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, well, I guess I'm putting on my Skechers. Good thing these are on $40 shoes. So put on my Skechers. And went for it. It was surprisingly, the Skechers did pretty good actually, but we got there. Nick pushed me through the super. It was brutal. It was still brutal. I mean, it was still hot. The hardest part about the super was there was like all the shade parts that you had on the Beast, which there weren't a whole lot of, were all on the Beast course. there wasn't really shade on the Super. So you were in the sun almost the whole time. So I pushed myself to the Super. As soon as we finished Super, Nick is my hero this weekend, by the way. So we should be doing a podcast with him soon. So, but he was my hero. He pretty much, we finished. I pretty sure at least, I think what he said was at least 17 times, told him, I don't want to do this. I am done. I am done. I can't do this. And he just kept saying, cool, come on, let's go get our packet and let's do this. And like, just kept ignoring it. And just like, let's go do this. Let's get, we got to do this to get ready for the sprint. And he pushed me through the Super with, he had time hacks that he kept putting in his head that we had to be done because we wanted to be done with the Super because the last sprint wave left at 3. So we figured we had to be done with the Super by 2:30 so that we had enough time to get our packet and all that stuff so that we could be out by 3 because they wouldn't let you get your packet beforehand. You had to get it like in between. Amazingly, we pushed through the Super. Huh?
I was just going to say, I was kind of curious how that works with the packets on a trifecta weekend because you said that a few times where you had to wait.
Yeah. And then that's what it was. As we got, they said, oh, don't worry about it. There won't be any lines. Yeah, right. We got done about 1:30. So we were about an hour ahead of our schedule. Nick was, like I said, great about pushing me along. And we went to go get our packet. Of course, there was a line. It took us probably half an hour. We got a packet and everything else. And then me, Nick, and Justin Wiley, he joined us for the sprint. And we took off about 2:30 and went for it. And it was, by this time, I could tell I'd had a blister on my left big toe that had burst and was that my whole big toe was raw at this point. And just every time I had to go downhill and you have that like slide, a little bit of slide, I wanted to scream and cry. I don't know if anyone saw the pictures of my heels. There's probably about a quarter inch got into each one of my heels, like where it just wore down. But Nick just kept me going and we ended up finishing the sprint. So it was a rough weekend. It was. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, I'll be honest, it's a beautiful course though. I mean, honestly, if you ever get a chance to go out to the Kualoa Ranch, go. It's a gorgeous course. They still have some of the props from the movies that are filmed there. There was a Velociraptor in a cage, King Kong skull from Skull Island. There was a cabin from something, I don't know. But yeah, so there's a lot of cool stuff out there. So if you ever get a chance to do the races, do them. So right now we're trying to decide if we're doing them again next year or if I'm done with this, with Hawaii. So I might be done with the two race weekends. I might agree with everyone else on this, that it's too much on the body.
Well, you see a lot of the people that are doing the two race weekends, they're a little more performance fitness type people. And even some of them now are saying the two race weekends are too much. Just trying to think, I was listening to a podcast the other day that you recorded and one of the people on there said that two race weekends is just too much now. They've been racing hardcore for 3 or 4 years and their bodies are telling them to slow down.
Was that Lorenzo? I think it might have been Lorenzo.
It probably
Which
was.
That's
I've
one thing
listened
we
to so many episodes.
That's one thing we didn't mention about Hawaii or about Portland is all the people that podiumed. Lorenzo, Claire Painter, who we just had on the podcast not too long ago, who runs OMAX Stampede, Jenna. I know I'm missing a whole bunch because there was like 8 or 9 of them. So I wanted to tell the Beast amazing job on that. I saw Lorenzo because I saw him right after and I was like, oh my God. So yeah. So, and I think Sarah Knight was second in Elite. So, but yeah, awesome. The other thing that was really cool about Hawaii that I didn't mention was Hawaii Ohana. I always say it wrong. Whatever. Is amazing. That team that Richard Park III went over there. We got biggest team both days, all three races for Hawaii Spartan Ohana. And it was awesome. The team, him, Darren Tanaka, Jojo, everybody that ran with them, everybody over there was amazing. I felt just welcomed into the community. They had the Thursday before, they had a big get together with dinner and everything else. So we all got to meet each other and talk and, you know, get a picture with the whole group. I got to meet one of my friends from here, who's a safety professional, you know, with me here in Seattle, named Julia, who was in Hawaii on an internship, and I got to see her again over there. So that was cool. I mean, it's a great community over there. Richard Park has done a great job. So if you're ever going to Hawaii, look up the Hawaii Spartan Ohana. They do probably every other week. They have, you know, group workouts, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, they're a great group and they're an awesome bunch of people. So.
And the thing that I think happened last year during Hurricane Lane, didn't you guys go do a workout with him? Or you talked about doing a workout with him during the hurricane since there was nothing going
on? I didn't, but a bunch of the other beasts did. Amy Yates did, and a few others went over and did the workout with him. I did not go over and do the workout because by that point, once they said there was going to be no races, somebody found every bar he could in Waikiki. Not going to mention names. It was me. But, yeah. So, but Amy met him, and then we ended up, Spartan had a Spartan, like, bar night, and I met Richard there. So, and then Darren Tanaka, who is Richard's best friend and a big part of the group too, he came over to Seattle and ran the Seattle race and as part of Beast. So that was cool. So,
yeah. I'm going to say, I thought I saw on the Ohana group where when they did the kickoff, it must have been Saturday morning, I'm guessing, when the ultras were already out on the course. Was it Darren that got, they actually gave him the mic and he got to do like an announce there for you guys?
Yeah. Yep. They gave Darren the mic and he got to talk and say, you know, kind of what it was about. The second name, Richard, actually got the mic and got to talk because he ran the ultra. So, which,
yeah.
Richard ran the ultra, and then the other thing
about that.
Oh yeah, and then the other thing that was great with Richard. So, anybody who hasn't seen it, Richard proposed to his girlfriend while we were there at the races. So, and she did say yes.
Awesome.
So, if anyone was wondering, she did say yes. So, we told him he had to marry her next year at the races, so it gave me an excuse to have to go back. Told him I could do the ceremony if he wanted. So. Because I can do that. I actually just did that last night. It was quite cool. So, not for Richard, for somebody else, but yeah.
I was gonna say, that'd be pretty quick if you just got engaged last week and you already got the marriage certificate and you were doing the ceremony there.
That would be pretty cool. I did do a wedding yesterday, but that was from some really dear friends that I've known for a long time. So, yeah.
All right, well, so... That was three races in 3 days. Don't you get a special award for that or something?
You do. You do. I'd love to see what it looks like, too. sorry. Is that out loud?
Yeah. There's a little story behind that. There is.
And I've been trying not to really put Spartan on blast on this. I was upset. I will be honest. I was very upset. 4 years of going for this, and then it was right there in front of me, and they ran out. So we missed the Beasts, and I guess it's my fault for being slow, but the Beast medals, they ran out right before I got there, so I didn't get a Beast medal. I don't have a Hawaii Beast medal, so the only Beast I've done this year, I don't have a medal. The Supers, they ran out of those, but I got there before they ran out, so I did get a Super medal. And then right as we were in line to get the trifecta weekend medal, it's a medal that says basically, hey, you did a trifecta in a weekend. and it's a special metal. It was three people back when they ran out. And I, like I said, I was angry. I was a little mad because it's like, I've tried this hard and you guys couldn't order enough. But I get it from a business standpoint. You know, they are specialty. The metals aren't specialty, but the ribbons are. So it's a specialty ribbon for the Hawaii weekend. So I guess I kind of get it, but I was still angry. I have been in contact with Spartan. They are they're mailing me those medals. So I should have them.
They're going to email it to you. You can print it out and spray paint it on yourself, yeah. Right?
There we go. Just like that, yeah. No, they're going to mail them. I'm hoping it's better than in 2016 when I didn't get my Hurricane Heat medal. You know, it only took 9 months to get that. So hopefully it doesn't take that long. They did say because of the ribbon, I might get the medal and then get the ribbon later. So who knows? But
yeah, because they got to wait for those to get here from wherever they have been printed, probably overseas.
Yeah. So they have to have them specially printed because they're a special design. But
yeah, so 4 years it took you. And yep. And how did it feel once you finally, you know, aside from the metal drama, how did it feel?
I wanted to cry. It was very emotional. I'd finally done it. It was very, very emotional. I was very, very proud of myself. I will be honest. I definitely want to go back and do it again because I feel, and it's, I think it's because I'm my own worst critic. I did it, but I want to do it better. Because I'll be honest, by the time I hit the end, there was a few obstacles that I just honestly pretty much walked right by. Tried to do a little bit of a squat or something, but my body, my feet, everything was so destroyed at that point, I could barely walk by the time we finished. So I still feel like I earned them, but I feel like I could do better. I want to go back and do a clean race. You know.
Yeah, that was kind of my thing with Montana. Is at the end of, I think that was 10 hours for me, but at the end of Montana, there it got to the point where, you know, there was the easy little tube crawl where you're crawling through a nylon tube, and I'm like, if I bend over, I will not get back up.
Yeah.
So that was one of those things where I walked past what was probably arguably the easiest obstacle at that race because I knew if I got down, I wasn't getting back up.
Yeah.
So I'm right there with you.
I mean, I did.
Understand that, and that's why I'm going
and it bothers
back.
Me.
I'm going to do it better next year.
And like I said, I still feel like I earned them, but it bothers me personally. I mean, I know everyone says it's an open heat, run your way race, but it bothers me. One of the ones that I went by was the Rolling Mud, because honestly, at that point, it wasn't about the water, getting in the water. It was about, and this sounds horrible to say this, it was about the bacteria and the germs. At that point, I knew I had so many open sores and open cuts and popped blisters and everything else on my feet. I didn't want to put my feet in that water because I was afraid of what germs and what bacteria might be in there. And honestly, from what I hear from a couple people, I'm probably glad I did. Because I know I have another racer that had a cut on her toe and had to have, she was in the ER over this weekend having basically her toenail removed because of the bacteria she got in the water over there. So, yeah. I mean, I've been soaking my feet in Epsom salts, you know, cleaning them and everything else quite a bit. So I'm pretty sure I'm okay and I don't show any signs of infection. So there's that. But, yeah, that was my worry there. And then the slip wall, because my feet were so destroyed, I couldn't put that pressure on my feet to try and walk up. So I tried to do like a little bit of like a squat, because at that point, if I'd gone down to do a burpee with the way my left foot was at that point, I wouldn't have been able to get back up. Because one thing I haven't mentioned is it's feeling better now, but I was actually worried that I had rebroke my left foot towards the end because I twisted it while I was walking along a rock. And when I landed, I felt a pop and a sharp pain shoot through my left foot right where I'd broken it before. And I'd honestly, at that point, I was afraid I'd rebroke it.
Now, seeing how you managed to break your foot on a half marathon and not even know it, I wouldn't have been surprised.
No. And I mean, right now, it's feeling better. I can put weight on it. It's not too bad. It's more the cuts that are a problem now. So because it's where it was broke before, that I knocked some scar tissue and popped some scar tissue, because that happens occasionally. So, but it was painful. I thought I'd rebroke it. And trust me, I was scared. Because if I had rebroke that, I was going to be in trouble. And it might have meant surgery. So.
You never know. That surgery might actually finally fix it.
If it's a surgery that I end up having to get there, it'll be full pins. And it would basically make it so that my foot doesn't move at all. My foot would be in one position. So right now I can still get some movement in that joint. But if I ever had to have the surgery, it would pretty much be pinning the joints. So, because that's how I broke it so that close to the joints.
Who was it? There's another racer that I was talking to recently that had that too. I think that was Daniel from Moses Lake, Spartan Dan, I think, older gentleman. But yeah, I mean, that makes it a lot harder to get up and over obstacles if you can't bend, so.
Does your business need first aid, AED, OSHA, flagging, or other safety training? James Safety Services is your one-stop shop. Find them on Facebook today at James Safety Services WA and ask for a quote on hosting your training needs.
Yeah, it's amazing how it just flows when we start talking. I guess 37 years knowing each other makes it happen.
Yeah, it does. If anybody ever wants dirt on Don, I got it. I was there the first time he got bit, and then never mind.
So you finally got to the Hawaii trifecta. I'm thinking we need to work on our hill climbing and go to Kimberly and get the trifecta.
It's tempting. Kimberly is interesting because I know Kimberly does it different. Kimberly, it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So...
Yeah, but
because Kimberly, the sprint,
we've all
is on
heard the stories about Kimberly and the hills and how that one kind of takes the cake. But at the same time, I was listening to some people talk about Utah, and Utah's kind of the same thing. You're at a ski resort, you're going up and down the ski slopes.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I think, the thing I want to look at for next year is I want to look. I mean, if Hawaii's in the cards, I'll go to Hawaii because I love Hawaii. Because I will say this for anyone who's listening, if you ever go to Hawaii, there's a few places you have to go. Mike's Hui Chicken. Get the Mike sauce. It's amazing. I bought some to bring it home. And Giovanni Shrimp. Mmm. Amazing. So if Hawaii's in the cards, I'll definitely go back because I love Hawaii. But I want to look at some of the other races. I was looking at, this last weekend, West Virginia. And West Virginia is a trifecta weekend. Why not?
Yeah.
I gotta watch out for the Valentines and the relatives. But
yeah, there's a quarter mile swim on that course too. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. My family's from West Virginia, so we gotta watch out for relatives. But other than that, Vermont. I mean, there's some really cool races out there, and I'm just thinking, I spent a lot of time on the West Coast and Hawaii, and I really haven't traveled any farther east than Montana. And I'm thinking next year I might want to.
That's currently my plan, is to expand my horizons with a lot more of the local events also. I know that we've been talking a ton on the show to local promoters. Just today I was reading an article where they were talking about whether or not the market's oversaturated, or kind of talking about the Warrior Dash failure, and the biggest thing everyone talked about in the comments from that post is go out and race local. You can do three or four local races for the price of one beast.
Yeah. And that's it. I mean, coming up shortly on the, September 14th, you got your choice. You can either go across the mountains, go to Eastern Washington, OMAC, and do the OMAC Stampede, or you can go west out to the peninsula and you can go out and do, you know, run amok. I mean, those are two great ones here in the, you know, the local races, you know. In the summer, you got Renegade, you know, Renegade Rage, you got a bunch of them. So, yeah, that's one of the things I really want to look at is the locals next year. You got the Summit to Swamp is another good one, which I know the Beasts are working with them to use that area, that land, for more than just Summit to Swamp. I mean, I think the Ghost and Beast Breaker are going to be there.
They announced Beast Breaker's going there for sure.
Yeah.
They haven't announced anything about Ghost, but Beast Breaker has for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be a good partnership with them so that the Beast can work on making, you know, more races and stuff there, helping them. So it'll be good. And I think the more local ones we have, and we got to support those local ones, because that's going to be, those are going to be the fun ones. Those are going to be the ones that you're going to want to do every year. I mean, I love Spartan. I love Terrain Race. Rugged was great when it was up here. Warrior Dash, I always had a blast at. But it's those local ones that put that little bit of local flavor into it. The Run Amok, you know, I talked to them for pennies for quarters. I've been there for that race. I unfortunately didn't get to race it because that was the year that my foot was broke. Amber raced it and unfortunately rolled her ankle. But whatever. it's a really cool venue because where they do it, it's where they do this the jet boat races. And I don't know if you've ever seen these races. They're freaking amazing watching those. Look them up. And it's where they do those. So you're running through those courses. It's pretty cool. I mean, you start off standing in water is the start line. So you're wet to begin with. So
yep.
It'll be cool. So and then, you know, like the OMAC Stampede. Oh,
I was going to say, the thing about Run Amok was that in talking with Matthew, the year that Amber did it was the last year until now that it's been done because the motorsports park changed hands and whatever. And this is the first year back for this race. So it'd be real cool to see a lot of people out there to help support it and show them that, you know, we want to get out there, we want to get muddy, and at the same time, we want to support a great cause with the pennies for quarters, helping get homeless vets back on their feet again and getting in some short-term housing with all sorts of assistance. I mean, that's a great cause that people need to get out there and help with. And like you were just about to start saying, you know, I'm torn because I really want to do the OMAC Warrior Stampede with Claire Painter over there. The trouble is just all about timing. We have to be, BeastNet has to be on location on the 15th, we're going to be doing some live streaming and whatnot from the Tunnel Marathon. We've taken over the first aid station. So anybody that's running the Tunnel Marathon September 15th, you know, at 2.7 miles, say hi to Mike and I and the rest of the BeastNet team that's going to be there. It's going to be a great event, but that one kind of limited my ability to be in OMAC. So right now I'm penciling, you know, second or third week of September next year to hopefully get over there and run that one with Claire, because as a kid, I spent a lot of summers in OMAC, and we would cross the river and kind of stand at the bottom of the hill and maybe run up and down it a little bit. But yeah, I don't recall ever actually running all the way up it. And if you watch the videos, there's kids doing front flips off the top of the hill and stuff. And it's just a real steep hill that goes straight down into the Okanagan River. And, you know, it's a really neat course. The fact that she uses so much natural elements with rocks and bowling balls and haystacks and you name it. So it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. But I hope that any of our beasts on the east half of the mountain that aren't going to drive all the way up to Port Angeles, I'd sure hope they head to the northeast corner and go visit Claire and check out her race.
Oh, I hope so. And that's one thing, honestly, it sounds really bad to say this, but I feel like next year we need to get together with Claire and Matthew and say, okay, guys, you can't have these on the same weekend. You got to have these on separate weekends because they're completely across the state from each other. Or have one on Saturday and one on Sunday. I could do that.
Yep, that we could do too. But, you know, we're getting off subject. I don't know about you, but I know that we're going to be recording again shortly on some of the things that we've been talking about, especially with the Spartan Hawaii race. And we'll be, at least some of us will be out at Run Amok, setting up a booth there to talk with people. So if you've never met the guys from BeastNet, you know, pencil that in as the first official road trip with the traveling band. And then if you've signed up for that other race, come see us there too. We'll be at the first aid station. Any closing comments, Mike, that you want to get out there and tell the listeners, coming from Mike the racer, not pretty Mike the host?
Get out there and have fun. No matter how many times they tell you you can't do it, you can do it. Do it anyway. I'll be honest right now, I'm 280 pounds of disgusting fat, but I still get out there. I still went out there in Hawaii. It took me forever to finish it, but I did it anyway. You know, in June, I did a full marathon when everyone told me, that's a bad idea. You shouldn't be doing this. And I went, cool. I'll see you at the finish line. And I did it anyway. Don't let people judge you by just your size or anything else. You know who you are. Do it anyway. And that's all I can say. Just do it anyway. Go for it. Push your body that limit.
To say.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody else tell you what you can or cannot do.
Exactly.
Well, it was real fun hosting tonight, Mike. You know, I'll probably be on the show a little bit more. Who knows? You know, we're just testing out all sorts of new stuff with the three hosts or two hosts or whatever we end up doing. So hopefully people like this episode where they finally got a full-on interview with Pretty Mike, not just a shortened Beast report or a random short interview. A full-on, this is Pretty Mike for an entire hour. I can't believe people pay for this.
Yeah, I know. Wait, they pay for it? I'm not getting paid. Who's paying? What?
I guess someday maybe they will. It'll be in the archives, right? That'll be
there. We go.
But, no, thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks, Mike, for being on the show tonight. And look forward to hearing you host some more upcoming episodes.
Right on. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast. If you haven't done it yet, find us on Facebook. Like and share the podcast. Give us a review on iTunes or Spotify. All these things will help to expand the show in the future. This show is brought to you by James Safety Services in partnership with Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you like to hear. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or at beastocr.com.